back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, welcome back to Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese. Jay is handling some business, so Austin Norman with you here for the next half an hour, give or take. Kansas City Royals baseball on the airwaves at 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 for game two against the Milwaukee Brewers. Royals won last night, final score of 3-2. Cole Reagan shoved six strong innings from him. Made a mistake, two-run home run to Gary Sanchez. Interesting offseason addition by the Milwaukee Brewers. Three-run rally in the seventh inning for the Royals. Michael Massey, it was, who hit the first blow, solo home run to get the party started. Then the Royals just start stringing hits together. Mikel Garcia ends up with the go-ahead and ultimately game-winning two-run single back up the middle. So game two of that series tonight. Right now it's Milwaukee leading the NL Central at 20-14. I guess they're tied with the Chicago Cubs at 21-15. That's the Royals' record, 21-15 as well. They sit tied with Minnesota, 2.5 games back of Cleveland, who's 23-12 in the American League Central. Guys, I don't hate to break it to you, but this surprised me when I checked it out today. The Kansas City Royals have a 59% chance at making the playoff right now. Baseball References playoff odds give the Kansas City Royals a 59.3% chance to make the playoffs. 1 year after going 56-106. No, that's not a franchise record for losses, but it tied it. It was a wretched, horrendous, terrible year for the Royals last year. They're back on our airwaves. I am thrilled they got game two against Milwaukee tonight. But the way the Royals are winning makes very little sense to me. I have not seen a Royals rotation this good in my entire life, I'm pretty sure. Even the World Series teams didn't have rotations that were this good and this deep. You look at Cole Reagans. He's only 2-2 on the year. His ERA is 3.38. But his FIP, his fielding independent pitching, which is if you take everything a pitcher can control, and you know you take out, I think it's the really it's home runs, walks, and strikeouts. So based on his home runs allowed, walks allowed, and strikeouts, Cole Reagans should have a 2.35 ERA instead of a 3.38 ERA. It was really just one bad start for Cole Reagans. He bounced back from it. He's been really good basically all year. Leads the team in strikeouts with 54 in those 8 appearances against only 15 walks. He's done it in 42 innings. Cole Reagans has pretty much lived up to the hype. Going above and beyond the hype, Seth Lugo. Maybe the underrated signing, right? Michael Wacha had more high-level success as a pitcher, both in St. Louis and then in San Diego. Wacha has been probably the biggest disappointment on the year. He's 1-4 with an ERA of 5.5, giving up 23 runs, by far the most on this pitching staff, 31 strikeouts to 10 walks. He's been 4th, 5th starter material, but Seth Lugo has pitched like a co-ace basically all year long. Is it sustainable? Probably not. His ERA at 1.60 right now. He's 5-1 on the season. In those 7 games, he's thrown 45 innings. 31 strikeouts to 11 walks. He really didn't strike anyone out until his last 2 starts. And I think he's gone 6-plus innings and struck out 7 in each of his last 2 starts. Seth Lugo was living by the trust your defense kind of mantra until the last couple starts. His ERA's at 1.60. His FIP is 3.43. So you don't expect his good luck, his good fortune to continue quite this well moving forward. But if you tell me that Seth Lugo is running an ERA of under 3.5 for the price the Royals got him for and what they expected for a guy who's really in his 1.5 year of starting full-time, he was a bullpen arm for the New York Mets for a long time. They stretch him out a little bit last year, and Kansas City goes all in and said, yeah, we've seen enough. Even though you're a little bit older, you're 34, he's the oldest guy in the rotation right now. It's a young 34. He doesn't have that many innings on his arm. Doesn't throw the hardest. His best pitch is by far his curveball. I would recommend you check out Pitching Ninja on days that Seth Lugo starts, because he'll run his curveball up there with, you know, 2,600 to 3,000 revolutions per minute. It is the nastiest curveball this side of Clayton Kershaw, and it's working. The other positive surprise for the Royals in the rotation has been Alec Marsh, who missed his last start. He took a comebacker off of his left forearm in the series against Toronto, I want to say it was. But Alec Marsh is 3-0 with an ERA of 2.70 in his five starts. He struck out 17 batters, walked only seven. The big things for Alec Marsh are the control, the command, and the home runs. This is a dude in AAA who had an ERA of 5.70-something over a few years. Could not keep the ball in the yard. Throws it hard, has a good mix of pitches, but just he threw the ball right down the middle. Didn't miss enough bats for the quality of, you know, pure stuff that he has. Fastball, changeup, slider, curveball. Alec Marsh runs out four or five pitches on a pretty consistent basis. Never really put it together in AAA. Won that fifth starter role over Jordan Lyles, who just took a shellacking, you know, fifth game after fifth game last year. Well, was dependable enough to take the mound, but also lost, I think, his first 15 or 16 starts last year. Daniel Lynch made a spot start last night. Actually, it wasn't last night. It was a couple nights ago. Not tremendous, but better than he's shown. If Daniel Lynch is the sixth starter or seventh starter, that's probably fine for the Royals because he just hasn't developed. The velocity hasn't ticked up, and neither has the ability to miss bats. And I think those two things are correlated. So for Alec Marsh to come from running a 5.70-something ERA in AAA up to the major leagues and pitch like, you know, probably the third best guy on the staff, and he's your fifth starter, that's huge. The only guy we haven't talked about in that rotation then is Brady Singer, who's 2-1 right now, in seven starts, runs out an ERA of 2.45. His FIP is 3.46, which is pretty much in line with what he's done for his career, maybe slightly better. 2 years ago, Brady Singer was electric. From, I think, May on, Brady Singer was one of the best pitchers in the American League 2 years ago. Last summer, he played on Team USA in the World Baseball Classic, the team that got runner-up behind Team Japan. Didn't see a whole lot of action. It didn't go very well for Brady Singer. Bobby Witt also didn't factor much into that team, even though he was on it. And Brady Singer really regressed. He didn't use his changeup more, and he hadn't added a fourth pitch. Brady Singer's success in the major leagues to this point has been with the arm side run of his sinker, and then the glove side break of his slider. Two of the nastiest pitches in baseball. And when Brady Singer is on, he has righties flailing at the slider and lefties jumping out of the way of his sinker.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
He will throw that backdoor sinker regardless of the count. And when he's spotting it, it is a thing of beauty. It is masterful. He lost it last year. This was a big year for Brady Singer, who was, you know, floated out as a trade chip. You know, could he ever get back to what he was 2 years ago? Brady Singer's done that so far this year. The rotation has been absolutely incredible. Bullpen's been up and down. Will Smith has run out five straight scoreless outings after really being the pariah early in the year. Blew some games against Baltimore was one of them. And I think, was it Toronto or maybe Texas was the other? But Angel Serpa has been a revelation in the bullpen. Chris Stratton has been pretty solid, all things considered. I'm not going to let the ERA of 5.4 fool me on that one. He's run into some tough luck with some bad calls that have led to bigger innings. James MacArthur has taken over in the closer's role. He's been really good. Not lights out, not perfect, but for his first time, this was a guy that was a discard by the Phillies in, I think, double A, maybe high A. Royals traded Junior Marin for him, and if you haven't heard that name, that's the point. James MacArthur pitched well at the end of last year and has continued that through this year. And then John Schreiber. This was a trade that not a lot of Royals fans understood at the time. They traded David Sandlin, who's a pitcher out of Oklahoma, some of the best pure stuff in the Royals minor league, you know, pitching ranks. They trade him to the Boston Red Sox for a win-now sort of arm in John Schreiber, who's been pretty solid these last few years, nothing incredibly special. But John Schreiber's gone from just kind of your generic bullpen arm to the Royals setup guy. He's been kind of the fireman at times for the Royals. He's pitched in 17 games. His ERA is 1.1. His FIP's under 3. John Schreiber and James MacArthur in the back of that bullpen are legit. The reason I start with the rotation first for these Kansas City Royals, the offense has not been great. We know Salvador Perez is putting up some of the best numbers of his career through the first, you know, month and change of the season. Salvi's turned back the clock. It's incredible. He was, until just a few days ago, leading the American League in batting average as a catcher. And he's doing it with power. He's already got 8 home runs. I think he still leads the American League or his top handful in runs driven in. 30 runs driven in already for Salvador Perez in 35 games. His OPS plus is 169, and without having it pulled up right now, I can about guarantee that if that continues, that would be the biggest, highest mark of Salvi's career. So yeah, far and away. His next closest would be 159 in the pandemic-shortened 2020 year, when he only played in the 37 games a year after coming off Tommy John surgery. The year after that, he ran a 128 OPS plus when he led all of baseball with 48 home runs and 121 runs driven in. So Salvi has been electric, and it's awesome. He is bolstering his case for Cooperstown. Bobby Witt Jr., also incredible. OPS plus of 161. 76 total bases for him, leads the team, set a new Royals record for runs scored, and Bobby hasn't even turned on the power yet. There are some good articles out there about how Bobby Witt Jr.'s power has been to the opposite field so far. So Bobby Witt Jr. remembers how to turn on a fastball. Watch out. The only other guy in the lineup right now that's played enough games to qualify that's above league average as a hitter is Vinny Pasquantino, who has been so up and down, so streaky, which is not what you expect from a guy like him who knows how to take a walk, who avoids strikeouts. I mean, Vinny Pasquantino in the minor leagues had more walks and doubles than strikeouts. Not more walks and doubles combined. He had more walks than strikeouts and more doubles and extra base hits than strikeouts. Vinny Pasquantino knows the zone. He can hit with power and get bat to ball. He's improved defensively at first base. Started out the season ice cold. Was the best hitter in baseball for 10 days, 2 weeks. Has cooled off a little bit. But those are the only three guys above average, according to OPS Plus, in this entire Royals lineup. Mikel Garcia barely below average at 91. He's been up and down. MJ Melendez was hot for a while. He's cooled down. Hunter Renfro has been pretty atrocious, which I wouldn't have thought. He hasn't been great, like I knew that, but I wouldn't have thought he was running out the lowest OPS on the team at 47, which is even lower than glove first Kyle Isbell in center field, who really only needs to run out his 73 OPS plus. Potential saving graces for the Royals lineup. Michael Massey, mentioned he had the solo home run last night, went to college at Illinois. He's a guy that won a platinum glove in the minor leagues. Stellar defensive reputation, and he's got some pop in his bat from second base. Not ever going to get on base at the highest clip, but if Michael Massey can hit for 15 to 20 home runs, play gold glove caliber defense, and right now his on-base percentage is .308, if he ticks that up to .315, .320 by taking a walk here or there, that's a borderline all-star second baseman. That's a franchise cornerstone who, by all accounts, works really well up the middle with Bobby Witt Jr. The number of times Witt and Massey would dive up the middle and flip the ball to the other one to start a double play last year, just fantastic, just stellar. So I am rooting for Michael Massey to overcome the back issues that he's had. That's what landed him on the injured list to start the year. But he's up. Drew Waters is tearing it up in AAA right now, as he's done. He might be a quad A guy. He's never really put it all together at the major league level, but he's still only 25 years old. And then Nick Lofton, who started the year with the big league club because of Massey's injury. Lofton's a guy that I think deserves a shot. And it's going to mean the Royals might have to make some tough calls, whether it's cutting bait with a Garrett Hampson that you just signed for a year and $2 million this offseason, probably not getting rid of Frazier or Renfro quite this early. A guy like Matt Sauer, a Rule 5 pick, the Royals see something in. Can they afford to keep him if the outfield offense has been this bad? Probably not. But there for a while, y'all, the Royals, as much as their record, it was a turnaround from last year. It was fluky, but it's not. Because the pitching has been so good, it probably won't continue, but it's kept them afloat. The offense has actually been a little unlucky. They've done a pretty good job as of a team of clustering their hits together, right, with the top of the lineup, Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, and then whoever's hot between Massey, Melendez, any given day. But if you look at the Royals' batted ball metrics, the quality of contact, their launch angle, their exit velocity, the Royals have actually been unlucky. And yet here they are still running out a plus 45 run differential. They're 21-15 right now. Their Pythagorean win-loss, you know, just looking at their run scored versus allowed, said they should be two games better than that at 23-13. Long season, lot left to go. We're only 36 games into a 162-game schedule. But guys, the Royals are real. They're legit. They're sticking around. And I hope you will too. They're on our airwaves all summer long. We'll take one quick break, close out the show after this.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.